Hello again, this is Stephen. I don't know how much you got from me, but I'm Stephen Crandell. I'm Director of Content and Philanthropy here at Spiritual Directors International, which of course is a nonprofit that's dedicated to helping people find their way along their spiritual journey and helping them find good guides and companions to help them along that way. Wendy, are you here with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. So thank you all for joining us, Wendy. I'm about to introduce Wendy, but I'll give you a little more of an introduction as we get going here. And again, apologies. I don't know if you caught my apology last time. This is my first one. And in true beginning fashion, I lost the call. So to give you an idea, a little background, Spiritual Directors International is an inclusive global learning community committed to compassionate listening, contemplative living, and spiritual companionship. We connect seekers, or what we call seekers, which are really anybody who is interested in a spiritual life, with spiritual guidance all around the world and across traditions, and even if you don't have a tradition, even if you just feel like you go out in nature and you're inspired, to me, that's spirit, and that's worth following up with, and we can help you there. Today we have the honor of hearing the wisdom of Wendy Bernstein Lash. Wendy is a spiritual director with a private practice that includes spiritual guidance, supervision, that's where she works with other spiritual directors, giving them guidance, with a private practice that includes, and she also does mentoring and meditation support, both locally in the San Francisco area and at a distance with people around the globe. She's a co-director of a Jewish Spiritual Direction Training Program and a member of the SDI Coordinating Council, so we're grateful to Wendy for her leadership there. That's equivalent of our nonprofit board. Wendy leads a monthly contemplative chanting service and is the author of two CDs, Blessing, Jewish Chants for Healing and Wholeness, and Sacred Relaxation, which is a meditation CD. Wendy will tell us what spiritual direction is from her perspective in a moment. I'm really excited and can't wait to hear. But first, you'll get us started with a short centering moment of peace. Wendy?
Thank you, Stephen, and welcome to everyone. I'm going to invite us to have a contemplative moment. So if you're not driving, if you're someplace safe, you can close your eyes, or if that's not open to you, just imagine softening your gaze and find your breath, whatever that means for you. Notice the breath in your body. Notice your inhale and how your body receives the life force, and your exhale, how you connect out to the rest of creation. Just take a few nice long breaths. And as we begin our time together, we have the gratitude for being able to take out this time from our busy lives to explore and share our wisdom and what we might learn together and how spirit might show up for us. So take a nice big breath in and come back. And Stephen, ask your first question.
Wonderful. Thank you, Wendy. I feel better already. How would you describe spiritual direction to someone who's brand new to it?
That's a great question. It's a reflective, contemplative spiritual practice where we explore our spiritual life. So there is a sense of spaciousness, that contemplative, reflective qualities that we bring to this. And it's really a practice where the person coming to spiritual direction or the seeker is sharing their experiences, their questions, things they're wrestling with, what they're celebrating, and the spiritual director, the spiritual guide is listening and listening with full heart and presence, listening in a non-judgmental way, without any goals, without a need to get anywhere, but just being present with that person. It's usually done one-on-one, one seeker, one spiritual director. There is group spiritual direction, another form of spiritual direction, where a small group of people get together with a facilitator, usually a spiritual director, but not always. And it can be done in slightly different forms, too. I've infrequently had couples come for spiritual direction. It's usually this one-on-one practice where you have a chance to explore your inner spiritual life, whatever those experiences are for you, and any questions that you have around that.
Wow. Good definition, Wendy. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that word direction. Mm-hmm. You know, for people new, I know it was for me, it can kind of lead you in the wrong, give you the wrong impression. Could you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, great question. So the term spiritual direction is a historical term, and it can be misinterpreted, because we think about direction as being directed. You know, somebody's giving me direction, they're directing me. And while there are forms where, you know, places where it may be that the spiritual director does give something that says, you know, well, why don't you try this? Or specifically, like in the spiritual exercises, there are some times that things are very directed. It's really not a directed practice. The direction comes from you're directing yourself to your spirit, or you're directing yourself for people that have, this is part of their work, you're directing yourself to God. And so some of us use the term spiritual guidance, because that then you don't have that initial challenge with the word direction, because it can be misinterpreted. But if you think about spiritual direction, is where am I directing my energy? Where am I directing my focus? It's on my internal present, my sense of being present, and my sense of what is my spirit telling me, and what is showing up in my spiritual life.
And in fact, many of our directors like the term spiritual companionship, and some even like the term, like Neil Singh Morales, who's our executive director. They like the term friend, like the Quakers use. There's very much a sense of going side by side, hand in hand in this, not one person, not the director leading the way. Give us a little bit of background on your own personal journey. Mm-hmm. Wendy, how and when were you introduced to spiritual direction?
Well, I can't remember the exact moment. It wasn't one of those, aha, oh my goodness, I discovered spiritual direction. But I do know that there are some important pieces for me that have been part of my introduction and exploration. And the two that jump out at me is there's a woman in my local community, Rabbi Amy Eilberg, who I've done different trainings, and she's now a colleague and a friend. But when I first was introduced to her, there was a quality of her presence that if she was talking to you, you and still do, feel like she's listening with her whole sense of being. She's not thinking about her laundry list of things she has to do. She's not thinking about the next moment or the moment that has passed, but she's right there with you. And Amy was one of the first Jews that was trained as a spiritual director. And so when I just kind of that presence that Amy carries, it really inspired me to be more like that, to want to explore how she cultivated that and to be that for other people. So that was one experience. And the other was I trained as a meditation teacher many years ago in a Jewish meditation program, and I love what meditation gave to me and the possibility of bringing it out into my community and to other communities. And we had a couple of semesters from two different rabbis who were trained as spiritual directors, or had been part of, knew that spiritual direction was an important piece of being a good spiritual leader. And so I was exposed to it there, and I discovered that I had much more I was more inspired, and I was actually better at that than meditation teaching. So it was, then it became like, oh, well, I love meditation, and I love doing it, and I love teaching it to people, but this feels like my next calling. This feels like the next step for me is to explore how would I go about training to be a spiritual director and to offer spiritual guidance to people.
Yeah, wonderful. And one of the fascinating things you told me in our earlier calls is that you actually have been through a number of spiritual directors and in different ways and in different traditions. So it really has been a journey that you have led. And that one thing I like to remind people is that all spiritual directors also know what it's like to be the person on the other side, to be the seeker, because that's how they started. Everybody, it's just a bit like, raise your hand out there if you're listening, if you're a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all of us on the planet. We all have that experience, even if we're 103 now. And that understanding and compassion is huge as this joint practice unfolds. Can you describe a bit more? I know you've talked a bit about the value you see in spiritual direction, but why it might be valuable to a person who might still be feeling a little bit vague or a little bit unsure about what to do with these. They might be looking at purpose or meaning in life. They might just be thinking about things like wonder, the wonder we feel in nature, a sense of awe at a sunset, and feel like there's something more to life than just earning money and paying the rent. Could you talk about that, please?
Sure. And I'm going to pick up on, you know, something that you just said about, you know, everybody's a child. Everybody's a spiritual being. That's who we are as humans. We have a spirit. We have an inner life. And, you know, everybody could benefit and from the value of spiritual guidance. That doesn't mean that everybody is a good candidate for it or that everybody wants to do it, but I think everybody could benefit from it. Part of that is because each person's unique, and the spiritual journey is unique for every person. And we're used to, you know, going to a class and, you know, learning something or being in a large group and having a large, you know, group experience. And then how do you take what's going on internally, your own experience, your own questioning, your own, whatever's percolating up for you, where do you have an opportunity to share and explore that and get support for, you know, what seems to be, you know, knocking at your door, the questions or the pieces of, you know, that feel like there's something that's missing or there's some, I'm exploring meaning or why am I keep being drawn to this? You know, where do we have an opportunity to explore that and how do we do it on our own? So there's this sense of it's a private, intimate, sometimes even lonely journey, and we like to have a companion knowing that there's somebody there who's going to be with us, but also somebody who's trained to listen and listen for things that we might be missing. Where's the holy? Where's the spark of divinity? What are the pieces that you know, but you haven't connected them to find that deeper wisdom? So I think those are some of the values and benefits of spiritual direction.
That's wonderful, Wendy. You know, one of the things I like to, you know, Anil, I mentioned him before, Singh Molares, our executive director, talked to me. He likes the term spirit with a capital S. Mm-hmm. We all have a sense of something greater than ourselves. We see it when we're around children or a baby. We see it when we're around someone who's had a lot of experience in life and clearly has wisdom that we don't. It's a sense that there's something greater out there. And one of the things I love about Spiritual Directors International is it makes no judgment that one tradition or no tradition is better than the other, but all are welcome, and that you may come in exactly as you are as long as you respect other people's right to practice their spirituality, and as long as you cause no harm, you're welcome here. Everyone is welcome, and so don't be ever put off by a particular word I use or Wendy uses or anyone uses. Some people don't like the word God. Other people, it's sacred. So the point is, you're welcome. Now let's get down to brass tacks. I like first steps, you know, especially with something new. When's a good time to start spiritual direction? You know, is it on a full moon? Is it when you turn 40 and you might be considering your life in a new way? Or could you comment on that?
Well, I never thought about the full moon piece of it. I don't think it's a bad time. My first answer would be, of course, any time is a good time to start spiritual direction because you're out there having spiritual experiences and being spiritual and having an inner life. And that being said, I mean, there are people who are specifically doing spiritual direction with children. I haven't, but how wonderful to have an opportunity for kids to explore their inner life and their spiritual life, and whether that includes the, you know, prayer and God, the traditional things that we think about as being spiritual, or just I'm a spirit inhabiting a physical form. From children to I have octogenarians, maybe I'll get people in their 90s as well. So there's this whole continuum of life that is a good time to start spiritual direction. And specifically, are there times that we see people either coming to it more or maybe needing it more, times of major loss, disruption, challenge, second half of life, or as we're living longer, third of life or second third of life, this sense of, I've done a lot of work. I've, you know, raised children, or I've done some work in the world, and what am I here for? That sense of meaning and purpose doesn't usually, although I am finding it more with millennials now that question is coming up earlier, but it traditionally hasn't come up in 20s and early 30s because we're busy. We're so busy, like, trying to figure out who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. And then that second half of life, we have this sense of, okay, I did what I thought I was supposed to be doing, and there's still something missing. What is this, you know, me? What am I here for? And so that typically is second half of life. And then as we look at, you know, the diminishment of our life nearing the end of life, how do we continue to cultivate a spiritual life when we can do less, and it's not what we're doing in the world, but how we're, even more so, how we're being and what that means? So, you know, like, there's a whole arc of the life that there are places that spiritual direction can be of value. And I would say, if you're questioning whether it's a good time to start, that question itself is an indication that, well, it might be nice to have a conversation with somebody and see, is that question leading you to this practice for you?
That's such a good point. The questions are often a good thing to listen. You know, we have to listen to ourselves as well as it's great to have other people listen to us. You hear yourself asking the question, who am I, that Wendy just mentioned, or another one, why am I here? Or what is it that I bring especially to life? What is my gift? I love the story of the little drummer boy because he gives what he can. And I think that's what we're challenged to do, to give what we can. And as we do, I think fulfillment is much easier to reach. But what am I to give? And what is it about life that connects me to others, that makes me not isolated? These questions are, I can't give you your answer. We're still working on my own. But they're deep questions and so useful as avenues to come into spiritual direction and then to come to what I think of as fulfillment in life, because greater understanding leads to joy.
And Stephen, you know, one of the things that I don't know that I mentioned, and maybe it goes back to this sense of, you know, what is spiritual direction, and it's not direction, but the sense of there aren't answers. There isn't an answer, the answer to these questions. There's the question, and what answer is there for you in mining your own experience, your own wisdom, what's calling you? And that's part of, yeah, that's a difference between having a spiritual direction conversation and usually having a conversation with somebody else in your life, is you know, there's this sense of, well, we want to find the answer. Let me problem solve for you. It's not problem solving. It's helping you to find what is your answer to your questions.
Yes. I'll just remind people that if you have a question for me and you'd like me to ask Wendy, we don't have a means for you to ask it live, but please send me an email. I'm on stevenc@sdiworld.org. That's stevenc@sdiworld.org. And that's the same email that you got the reminder for this call, so you can just flip me a reply there on the email and shoot a question. Meantime, I'm going to push ahead with brass tacks, practical steps. How does this actually work? And I'm going to ask Wendy, because she's done so many of these, how often does a person meet with a spiritual director, and how do things proceed?
So it's a great question. Usually, you know, there's a sense of meeting, wanting to meet regularly, at least for a specific period of time, so that people get comfortable with the process, because it is, can feel foreign or different. Being listened to in this way and setting aside this kind of spacious contemplative time. It's usually monthly. Sometimes it's a little bit more frequent. Sometimes it's a little less frequent. In times of, you know, initially or in greater need, you may want to meet with your spiritual director more frequently, every couple of weeks, every 3 weeks. And in times where, you know, you feel like you want to take a little pause or you want to extend it out, you can, you have that fluidity. And it proceed, how does it proceed? Well, you know, you meet with a spiritual director, spiritual guide, and you, the two of you explore what it is that you're looking for and how you might want to proceed. There are different modalities that people move into, the basic structure of talking and listening and reflecting and taking time, prayerful time. Some people work a little bit with art. Some people work a little bit with the body. Some people I work with, I do those things, and sometimes we chant, and sometimes we pray together, and sometimes we do a ritual together. And so there are little pieces that can weave in and out, but it is meeting regularly, attending to your own spiritual life and bringing those experiences with you to spiritual direction to explore and process with your director.
Nice. And it's a key word there, because I'm thinking still on practical terms. Okay, you know what? I've heard enough to say that this sounds cool, but this is a personal and a private journey. I don't want to just choose anybody, name out of a hat. What's a good process for choosing a spiritual director?
Great question. So, you know, first you get to decide, does it feel important for you to see somebody locally? If that's the case, there are local resources sometimes where you can, you know, find a spiritual director. The SDI website, and I know, Stephen, that you'll give a link and send this out to people, has a seek and find guide that's very locally based. So if you want face-to-face with somebody, that's a great way to at least look at what the options are. And if that's not a necessity for you, then you get open to the wide world of spiritual directors that are doing this globally, either phone or through the web. The important thing to note is that it's a relationship, and at its core, it should feel safe for you, non-judgmental, and there should feel a sense of ease and comfort with your spiritual director. And so that's something that you can't put in a questionnaire. These are the questions to ask, which is on the, you know, SDI website. Those are important questions, but listening to yourself, does this relationship feel right for me? And given that there are thousands of spiritual directors around the world, and there are even more so people that are seekers and are looking for connecting with spiritual directors, there's obviously this sense of, you know, like, we have to try on the clothes and see if they feel right to us, if this is something. And to recognize that in the arc of, as you mentioned, Stephen, you and I were talking prior to this teleconference, I've had different spiritual directors at different times in my life. So somebody can be very good for you initially, And then you have this sense of, you know, I think it's time for me to move on. I might need something different or not. I've been with my current spiritual director probably 10 or 11 years, but I had a couple of spiritual directors before that, and they were the right person for me then. Being Jewish, I wanted to start with somebody Jewish. That was really important. And then at a certain place, I felt like I wanted to not have somebody Jewish. I actually wanted to experience somebody who wasn't Jewish and experience the, you know, something else was calling me. I didn't quite know what, but I knew it was time to thank this person for that relationship and move and try and find somebody else.
Absolutely. I love that. Another question just came to me. You know, one of the ways that I was thinking about buying a product or using a service, I say, well, what do you use? And I find out if the person actually uses the product they sell. And what I find really heartening is that our spiritual directors all get spiritual direction themselves because they value it so much. So this is not a case of do as I tell you to do, but it's a case of do this, I'm doing it, I have done it. So and you made a great point. We have great resources. I will send out an email after this conversation is done. Questions to ask for spiritual directors. We also have our Seek and Find guide, which can help you find somebody. We're working on it. We're improving it. At the moment, it's focused on geography. So if you want to find someone face-to-face, it'll work great for you. But a lot of people are using Skype. It only makes sense, or using a phone. And you can have a great connection and a great conversation that way. I know Wendy uses it that way. So there will be in our new search function, which we hope to have out in the next, say half year or so, it will be far easier for you to search on those. And if you ever have trouble, send me an email, please. And I know that there's somebody out there who will help you along your way. This is too important to me, what we do, for to have you feel frustrated because you can't seem to find the right person. We have 6,700 spiritual directors that are registered with us all around the world, and that's in 41 countries. And one of those people will help you, I'm sure. Now, we have a question that someone sent in, and they're interested in about how to access training for a spiritual director. Can you speak to that, please, mm-hmm. Wendy?
So training, or as we like to call it, training and formation program, because there is a real sense of if you don't do your own formation, if you don't attend to and recognize what is it that you believe and what is it that holds you as a spiritual person, how can you go out and support somebody else's journey on that? So it's training and formation. There are hundreds of programs around the globe, and some of them are local, and you would go like once a month to a training session, and many more of them are becoming hybrid, so that you can do some of the work locally and at a distance, and then you come together at a retreat center or a training information center periodically, like every 6 months. The program that I co-direct is like that. And so I know that's another resource on the SDI website. You can look through those hundreds of training and formation programs. That's pretty much how it's done now. Prior to the first training and formation program, I'm trying to think, it was maybe 40 years ago. Prior to that, people did more of an apprenticeship, and that is almost non-existent now, but a few people do it that way. But mostly it's go look for a training program, see the different descriptions, see what speaks to you. Is it in a particular faith or religious tradition that you want? Is it an interfaith? Is it a non-religious training program? And, you know, in the same way that you would explore finding a spiritual director, trying to find the program that is a best fit for you. Most of the programs are at least 18 months to some of them 3 years. It takes that long to learn how to listen and to be present for someone, and to recognize that if we're not doing our own work, our spiritual stuff gets in the way of us creating that vessel for somebody else to do their exploration.
Thank you, Wendy. And thanks, everybody. We've run a few minutes over our half hour, but I hope it's been worthwhile. We will send out that email. It'll have resources in it, and it will also have an evaluation so you can tell me next time I should get my phone skills a little bit better. But the other thing is, this is a conversation. We're on Facebook. You can reach me by email. The telephone number of SDI is there to call, connect, ask questions. Don't ever feel like, because it seems like you've hit a block, that it's time to stop. This quest is too important, and you're too important. And one of the things to remember is a lovely quote from Joseph Campbell, the great mythologist who came up with the hero's journey. He said, "Where you stumble, there your treasure lies." And it's from an old story from the Arabian Nights, where a farmer he's farming, and he hits this giant rock in his field, and he can't budge. Finally, after spending days, he moves it, and he's very angry because he's lost important time to farm, and finally moves it, and it turns out it blocked the entrance to the cave, and inside the cave are untold riches. And he suddenly goes from a poor farmer to a rich man. So the symbolism there is, what's your problem could be eventually a gateway to something wonderful. So I'm hoping that you're all on the verge of such a gateway, whether you have an obstacle or not. Now, Wendy has offered to end our session today with some chanting. Wendy, I'm very grateful for your expertise and your willingness to share your wisdom with us today. Please, as you are ready, sing us toward peace. And thank you all for joining us.
I will. And I'm also happy if people want to send questions to you to answer them through SDI. If something is really burning and you don't have to wait another quarter till the next one of these phone calls. So thank you all. Thank you, Stephen. And I'm going to share with you a chant. It's Hebrew. There's one word. It's Hineni. It means here I am. And it's a response to a call from beingness, from God, that appears to different prophets in the Hebrew Bible: Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Isaiah. And as we say, here I am, it's a sign to us of listening to how ready are we for what is being called to us. What's the readiness that we have? What's it for? So, Hineni, 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 blessings on your journey and blessings on your day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We'll be in touch.
Stephen, Don't forget to stop the recording.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.